Welcome to A Passion to Serve. My name is Don Kutnicki, and I'm the host of the podcast. I've spent the majority of my professional career developing and implementing policies and programs to help break the vicious cycle of poverty that too many people endure. With A Passion to Serve, I bring you stories of individuals from all walks of life who are working towards similar goals and objectives. During our interviews, we discuss employment and training programs, Head Start services, financial literacy instruction, and so much more. And of course, I also speak to the people who are utilizing these programs to help create a better life for themselves and their families. I hope you decide to join me and learn about these amazing people who all have a passion to serve. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 16 of A Passion to Serve. Today, I'm speaking with Al Flores, President of Latino Leaders for the Enhancement of Advocacy and Development, or LEAD. Al, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Don. Thank you.
Glad you're here with me this afternoon to talk. I want to discuss the 2021 LEAD Annual Report that was recently published, but first would like you to discuss briefly your professional background. We go back a little ways.
Yeah, actually, I had some jobs, but mostly working with Latinos in the whole career that I've had. I worked, for example, with MEHD, servicing minor seasonal farm workers for like 10 years. Then I went with the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. No, actually, then I went with the Hispanic COSA, Commission on Spanish-Speaking Affairs, for 10 years.
Now, MEHD, that's Michigan Economics for Human Development. Was that what that was?
Correct. I was servicing minor seasonal farm workers in Michigan. But then I went to the Commission on Spanish-Speaking Affairs about 10 years, and then to the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. And I ended up retiring from there in 2014 as a director of community relations. But even in that job, I wore the hat of one of my hats of Latino Liaison State of Michigan regarding civil rights issues. So, and I was, able to attend like the Interagency Migrant Service Committee meetings and other Latino organizational meetings that there were in the state to keep abreast or informed regarding what was going on in the Latino community in Michigan.
Well, I consider myself really fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with you over a period of time in addressing issues specific to the migrant and seasonal farm worker population. Can you tell me a little bit, what is the mission of LEAD and what are some of your primary responsibilities as LEAD president?
The mission, basically bringing Latinos together from throughout the state to work on issues and coming up with solutions for the betterment Latinos in the state. There's a lot of good programs in cities like Grand Rapids, Detroit, Saginaw, on and on, Flint. Good things happening in the Latino community, but we don't seem to know what the other community is doing, and sharing information and programs and this and that. And that's where LEAD comes in terms of being the umbrella where there can be the connection. For example, if there's a statewide issue that needs to be, in a sense, fought, bringing those people from those communities that I mentioned and more to speak with one voice, in a sense, and tackling that issue and then going on to another and so on. The nice thing about LEAD is that we're not a one issue organization and not that it's bad, and I'm going to give you an example. The American GI Forum, they deal with Latino veterans issues and other issues also, but their main focus is that. The Latino Chamber of Commerce, business, right? And so on. Mm-hmm. LACLA, they deal with getting people registered to vote and to vote. And they do other things of fundraising for scholarships and so on, like LULAC does. But with LEAD so far, and its work, whatever comes towards us and that we can advocate for Latinos in the state, we attempt to tackle.
Well, and I also appreciate it. Well, what I was initially thinking about too is what I think has been really smart is how you've developed this really nice collaboration with the Hispanic Latino Commission of Michigan, that you're working in tandem in some instances for the betterment of the Hispanic and Latino population.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I served on the Hispanic Commission on Spanish Speaking Affairs, and one of our members, or more than one, served as commissioners on the Hispanic Latino Commission. So we're familiar with it and what it does and so on. So, but one of the projects that we just actually was just completed was we received $6,000 from the commission, and we did a 2020 census report of Latinos in Michigan. And it's published now. This gentleman, Professor, he's a doctor, Marcelo Siles, out of Michigan State University, did the data and so on, and it's done. Now, you can get information regarding census, but you have to go dig for it and stuff regarding Latinos. Now, this report, I'm going to give you just one tidbit in terms of what came out of it. The overall growth of the population of Michigan in the last 10 years, 2010 to 2020, was approximately 198,000. Didn't grow very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Out of that total growth increase of population in Michigan, 122,000 was because of Latinos in Michigan, in the state.
Okay. Wow.
Well, 60% of that growth was because of the Latino population. Now, some people say that already that, we save a congressional seat and so on. But it's broken down to the 83 counties and the population of Latinos in the 83 counties. And by the way, in every county in Michigan, including the UP, there are Latinos, okay? Mostly Mexican Americans, because we settled out because of the migrant stream and into most rural counties, right? But only two counties decreased in Latino population. It wasn't, the figures weren't big, but out of the 83. So you'll find out things like that when you look at this report.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because I was going to ask what were some of the key takeaways, and you already hit upon that. I think that's really important information to disseminate, because it really gives the Latino population a very strong voice and just letting them know that they're going to have a significant impact on policy, on how things are being conducted here in Michigan based on that population growth. So I think that was a really worthwhile study that was conducted between you and the Hispanic Latino Commission. We wanted primarily to talk about the annual report from 2021. My first question is, why an annual report? Why did Lee decide to make that one of your priorities this past year?
Well, I mean, just like any other organization or agency, we have to track, the successes and non-successes of the past. So every year, the first one was 2020, and now we did 2021, and we're going to keep going. Because, you're working so hard, particularly during COVID, right?
Right.
We were meeting because you didn't have to drive to Lansing or Grand Rapids or whatever. We were meeting every week almost when COVID started, because things just went crazy, right? So so we did a lot of things. And then in 2021, we settled down a little bit. We only met once in person, and that was in Flint at the Hispanic Tech Center. It was a very good meeting. But, in 2021, we did things like invited the Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist to meet with Latinos. Right. We met at a home outside of Lansing. There were like 60-some Latinos from throughout the state. With COVID, that was good. We met with them and had a good discussion with them and, built partnerships with him and his staff and so on. And this doesn't happen too often, too readily with Latinos in the state of Michigan, So we need to start doing that. Now, in 2022, I'm going to go into jump to 22 for a little bit. We met with Attorney General Nessel in Lansing. That was a very good meeting to discuss legal matters, confronting Latinos and that sort of thing. So we had 50 people there at a restaurant. So and we're going to continue.
Well, you stole my thunder a little bit because I was going to ask about the meeting with Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, because I thought that was a real feather in your cap to get that type of access and then to have communication with Attorney General Nesso as well. After you have those types of conversations, is that helping inform from a strategic planning perspective what some of your key priority areas are going to be moving forward?
Yeah, you know, actually, it was probably a coincidence, but after we met with the Lieutenant Governor, you know, a couple, 3 months, the Governor, Whitner, announced some key appointments of Latinos, Latinas as directors of departments and you know, how do you say, departments under departments? But and that was cool, and I mean, we can't take the credit for that. But that was one of the questions that was asked of the Lieutenant Governor. You know, there's a lot of positions that come up. There's qualified Latinos in the state of Michigan. You got to look at it, and so on. We had the discussion, and he told us, yes, I will do that. You know, and again, we can't take the credit for it, but it helped, I think. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, it keeps helping.
Well, as I read through the report, there were some different things that really stood out to me. And one of them, in not a real positive sense, was the information that you shared about what was going on in Alma, Michigan, where they would not accept unaccompanied immigrant children into their community. And yeah. I, as dismayed as I was about that, I was so gratified that there was an annual report, that there is an organization like LEAD who's really shining a light on something like that, because I think that really can mobilize people and let them know what's going on in their communities or in other communities, just to let them know where some of the areas where progress is still needed and necessary.
You know, we have 4 chapters in Michigan so far, Saginaw, Holland, Grand Rapids, and Lansing. And the Saginaw chapter members heard about this, what was going on in Alma, and right away, you know, told everybody, whoever they could within LEAD in the state and whatever. And so I went to one meeting, the first meeting that they had in Alma. And I tell you, the opposition of people yelling and screaming and against having these you know, these little kids, 8 to 17 years old, you know, running away from danger from their mostly Central American countries. I was astonished in terms of people didn't care. They just said, we don't want them here. They're, you know, they might be drug dealers. They might be rapists. And matter of fact, they might be older than 18, but they look young. And Danny Sosa from our lead chapter in Saginaw said that they do bone density tests and this and that, blood tests or whatever. So that's not going to happen, you know, that an older person is going to come in pretending to be, you know, 16 years old. But it was things like that, you know, but it was nasty, the first meeting. And then I didn't go to the rest of them, but the Saginaw lead members did. And I quote Danny Sosa. Matter of fact, he's vice president of LEAD Michigan. He said it was outright racist, what was being said about these little kids and so on, why they shouldn't be in the community. But overall, the city council okayed it, although there were petitions to get a couple of those city councilmen, I don't know how many, a lady and a gentleman, city council people that supported the youth coming in to their community to get them out. You know, they wanted to get them out. Now, I haven't followed up on that. I don't think that they did. But anyways, it went positive. They can have up to, I don't know how many kids there at one time. I've driven by that place. It used to be a Mason elderly home or something like that. It's beautiful. It's very nice. And you know what? 50 people from the community got new jobs. New jobs were created, 50 jobs, you know, cooking the food, counseling, maintenance, on and on and on. And these kids, they're, as soon as they can, they're sent to, if they have family in the U.S., they'll send them to the family or wherever, because right. they still have to go through the whole legal thing and so on. So that was the...
Well, I think to me that just kind of stands as a testament to where we are as a country at this point in time. And that to some extent, when I hear those kinds of stories, it's just, you know, they aren't looking at the reality that's right in front of them. They have a political picture as to what's going on. And that's why they're in some instances reacting that way. And once again, we need organizations like LEAD right there on the front lines just to shine a light as to what's going on and to provide an accurate picture as to what's going on and why we want to provide services to the most vulnerable of our societies. Can you tell me a little bit, along with what we've discussed already, some of the other activities that are going on with LEAD's legislative committee?
Yeah, let me see here. As a matter of fact, I just got off a Zoom meeting with the group that is going to charter a LEAD chapter in Detroit, Southeast Detroit. And they told me right up front, we want a chapter, but we want to concentrate on jail legal justice issues for Latinos in the state of Michigan. Okay. Again, I just got off with them. We had a very good meeting. Matter of fact, we had a couple of gentlemen that were actually imprisoned. One of them went in at 18 years old. The crime was committed at 17, but they got him. He served 47 years in prison, Don. Okay? 47 wow. years. He didn't kill anybody. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that the crimes that he did were good or bad or whatever, but anyways. They want to concentrate on fighting the cash bail. Okay. Wayne County has already abolished cash bail in that they can, track people or whatever, or keep them, you know, in custody through tethers or other ways, but not use cash bail, because cash bail is just the people that have money are going to be out on the street again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jury diversity. Okay. Matter of fact, I was telling them that I served on jury here in Gratiot County in Ithaca. And this young man, he was in a prison in St. Louis, I believe, did something, and he was being charged and put through the court system. And all 12 of the people on the jury were white. And I was the 13th person, and the judge asked me, well, what do you think, Mr. Flores? You know, you're going to be on, blah, blah, blah. I told him, no, I can't. I said, why? 12 white jurors, and you have this African-American young man. What do you think is going to happen, judge? He said, oh, no, we can't get, we don't have enough, you know, Latinos or people of color in Gratiot County and this and that. I said, well, you got me. I'm from Mexican-American. And there are other people of color in the county. But things need right. to change, in other words. I know they can't right. be changed overnight, but things need to change in terms of jury diversity. So the third thing was connectivity to their family and to their attorneys and so on. That's very hard. Abolition of juvenile without parole. Life without parole, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then the sixth is just other issues, defense attorneys and so on. But right. it's affecting us, and it's affecting us bad. And a lot of people don't know about this, and some don't care. But the families that get affected and somebody gets sentenced, oh, my gosh, you're going to go through a lot, particularly those without right. money. And a lot of us that go in are without a lot of money. So how do you get to the prisons? How do you make a call? It costs money to make a call out of a prison.
Right.
And even emails that are sent and so on. So, okay, I'll leave that The other thing, let me see. We did a redistricting project. We got $5,000 from Voters Not Politicians, and they helped us a lot. But the Lansing chapter did that project, and that was to basically get Latinos in Greater Lansing to even know about what redistricting is, let alone, right, you know, helping draw up a map. As a matter of fact, we work with this gentleman, Oscar Castañeda, and that's what he does. He's from Lansing, works with Action of Greater Lansing, and I tell you, I learned a lot. And, mm-hmm, and we had sessions with Latinos that came to our Zoom meetings regarding redistricting in that area, and they learned a lot. And that's what Voters Not Politicians wanted, you know. And we submitted a map. Of course, that one didn't go through on the Greater Lansing area. That was Slotkin's, Congress Lady Slotkin's, I think it's District 7 in Lansing. But it was changed some. Anyways, that's one whole thing. And who would have thought that a Latino statewide organization would be thinking about redistricting?
I just wanted to say, too, that everything that you've highlighted already, I really found very interesting and really important to get a much broader perspective as to how we function here within the state of Michigan. And I would strongly encourage the listeners to the podcast to please seek out the annual report, seek out the website where you can gain additional information about LEAD. Al, where can people find this information? I'll include it in the show notes, but I also want to give you an opportunity to talk about where people can access information about some of these different activities that you just talked about.
Yeah, it's LEAD, LLEAD .org, O-R-G. You know, if you want to use the www, LLEAD.org. You can get information on a golf tournament that's coming up in 2 weeks, August 26th in Prairie Creek in DeWitt. It's a fundraiser for us, the first one that we're having. Please contact us if you're interested, or you can register right on the website. The other thing is our annual conference, statewide conference that we're having in Okemos, at the Comfort Inn Conference Center on October 20th, and it's a statewide conference. There's going to be some good workshops. Matter of fact, one about the crime jail thing, another about Latino LGBTQ plus, another regarding civil rights law, Latina women's issues, including the whole abortion thing and so on, and we have others, so.
Well, I'm really looking forward to participating in the golf outing, and if at all possible, I will definitely be in attendance at the annual conference as well. Is there anything else specific to LEAD that you would want to talk about today, Al?
Only that I want to ask people out there, not just Latinos, you know, imagine the possibilities of what LEAD can become and do. We're still a baby compared to the NAACPs or the ADLs and so on. But what we can do in terms of, again, bringing the light to issues that need to be addressed that are so important in the state of Michigan. You know, even the immigration issues and micro-seasonal farm worker issues and educational issues, you know, bilingual issues. There's a lot. But imagine the possibilities, and I'll leave you with that.
Well, Al, it's always good to have an opportunity to catch up with you a little bit. You continue to do very important work on behalf of the state of Michigan, and I want to thank you today for speaking with me on A Passion to Serve.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you for listening to A Passion to Serve with your host, Don Kutnicki. You can follow A Passion to Serve on Spotify or subscribe to the sites that carry the podcast, such as Apple, Anchor, and Radio Public. Until next time.